This morning, God's word comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we will be looking at the verses 5 through 13 of this chapter. We're going to begin our reading with verse 1, just to put the chapter in context, then go to verse 5 and read through verse 13. So Matthew 6, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Now verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Trinity Psalter, to page 893 in the back, 93 and 94, as this morning we'll read together the questions and answers from Lord's Day 45. Reading from the bottom of page 893, I will read the question. We'll respond together with the answer. Lord's Day 45, question 116. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important. On the next page, question 117, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask of. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. And question 118, what has God commanded us to ask of him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. And what follows then in question 119 is the Lord's Prayer. Well, this morning we are returning to a sermon series that we began over a year ago, a sermon series on the basics of the Christian faith, and those basics outlined for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. We began by looking at the Apostles' Creed, that Trinitarian creed that describes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We then spent time talking about the sacraments of the church, the baptism of believers and their children, and the nature of Christ's presence as we come to the Lord's table. Most recently, we have finished our study of the law of God as contained in the Ten Commandments. And we saw that the law has a much broader reading than just a strict, narrow look at that law. It both prohibits our actions and prescribes how we are to live in a way that brings glory to God. Now we enter the last section of the Heidelberg Catechism, that section dealing with the Lord's Prayer, and this should take us through most of our summer months together. This morning, we are going to talk about prayer more in general, and then as the weeks unfold, we will look at each petition that we find in the Lord's Prayer. If I was given to catchy titles for sermons, which you know I am not, but if I was, I would entitle this morning's sermon, "You're Doing It Wrong." You're doing it wrong. As we talk about prayer, oh my goodness, who would ever say about anyone's prayer, "You're doing it wrong"? We do that with our children. When our children are learning to set the table and they put the fork on the wrong side, kids, "You're doing it wrong." Okay, we can correct them with that. Maybe when they're playing a sport and they need to hold the bat differently or the racket differently or whatever it might be, "You're doing it wrong." But who would ever say about someone's prayers, "You're doing it wrong"? That's what Jesus is doing in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a corrective sermon. He is teaching them that they have misunderstood certain things. In Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus deals with their misunderstanding of the law. He deals with their misunderstanding of doctrine, and he corrects them. "You have heard it said, but I say to you." It's a corrective. In chapter 5, he deals with misunderstandings of their doctrine. In chapter 6, he deals with misunderstandings of their life, of how they live out their piety properly. And he's saying, "You're doing it wrong." And he talks about three different areas of their piety: about their giving, about their prayers, and about their fasting. Now, we're just going to look at the prayers this morning. Jesus teaching us the proper way to pray, so he would not say, "You're doing it wrong," to us. We're going to talk about the art of praying, the way Jesus himself has taught us. We begin with, how should we pray? And I would suggest that we pray in three ways. We pray sincerely, we pray simply, and we pray surely. How should we pray sincerely and simply and surely? First in verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites." They're doing it wrong. "For they love to stand and pray in the synagogue, at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." Now, the first thing we have to recognize is Jesus is not saying here, he is not saying here that it's wrong to pray in public. That's not what he's teaching. Many of you have the practice, as we do in our family, when we go out for dinner in a restaurant, before we eat our meal, we bow our heads in prayer. That is prayer in public, to thank God for what he has provided for us. Jesus is not saying that is wrong. What he is saying is, when you pray in public, so that you will be seen, so that others might say, "Oh, look how godly they are." To try to make ourselves look good. That's the corrective Jesus is giving. That's where he's saying, "You're doing it wrong." If you are praying in public like the hypocrites do, he says, just so people say how great you are, you have already received your reward. If you wanted to demonstrate your own piety, people will think that you are pious. But you're doing it wrong, Jesus says. Don't pray this way so that others will see you. No, pray to God sincerely, not for the show of others, but pray to God sincerely that he may hear you. Pray to him knowing he is the God who does listen and hear the prayers of his people. And even in that, it's easy for us to fall into the trap of trying to show our piety. Maybe we're at home and we're playing with our children and we say, now, okay, kids, dad's got to go sit over in the corner and he's going to pray for the next hour, okay? That's demonstrating our piety before our children in an inappropriate way. Nothing wrong with praying for an hour, but don't do it so you will be seen. Don't do it like the hypocrites. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Pray sincerely. Pray from the heart. Pray that God would hear us for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Do not be like the hypocrites, Jesus says. They are those hypocrites. It means those who are play-acting, those who are pretending, those who think they are praying but really aren't. Jesus says you're doing it wrong if that is your motivation. Our catechism picks up on that. When it asks, how should we pray that God will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no one other than the one true God who's revealed himself in his word. We are to pray from the heart. We are to pray sincerely to our Father who is in heaven. How should we pray? Sincerely. And also pray simply. With a simple humility before God. Again, from the Catechism, we must fully recognize our need and misery so we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. We are to pray simply. We are to pray humbly. Jesus says in verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not heap up empty phrases. Now, again, I want to say Jesus is not saying to us that it's wrong to pray the same words over and over. That is not what he is teaching. Jesus himself, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed 3 times, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will. Jesus 3 times prayed the same prayer. It's okay for us to pray the same thing over and over. We certainly do that as parents for our children. When we pray for them, we pray that God would watch over them, he would guide them, he would direct them, he would bring them into a loving, living fellowship with him. We pray all of these for our children over and over again. We pray this for our grandchildren. Nothing wrong with repeating the same prayer. When that is the prayer that is on our heart, humbling ourselves before God and simply using these words over and over, bless our families, bless our children, bless our grandchildren, bless our church. We pray for God's blessing upon the eldership, upon the diaconate, upon the ministry of the word, these ongoing phrases over and over. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to say the same thing again in prayer. But again, he says, don't use these empty phrases, for they think they will be heard for their many words. They were praying in such a way that they thought, if I just use the right words, if I just use the right language, almost like a magic formula, like an incantation, if I use the right words, God will then be obligated to answer my prayer. They tried to manipulate God by the phrases, by the words that they used, rather than humbling themselves before Him, recognizing His greatness, recognizing His glory, and as children we come to Him simply with our needs. There's no need to use particularly flowery language in our prayers. It's not wrong to pray in beautiful language, but it's not required to use simple language before God. Don't think that God will hear us if we have just the right words that we say. Sometimes in prayer, we can't even get the words out. The things of life overwhelm us so much, we say, I can't even pray to God. The words won't come. But God knows what is on our hearts when we humble ourselves before Him, when we say, God, you know. We don't have to use the right words or phrases, incantations, flowery language. And it's unfortunate that sometimes, that is exactly the way the Lord's Prayer is used. Jesus is teaching them, you're doing it wrong. Do it this way. And yet sometimes we almost use the Lord's Prayer as if it is an incantation. We're told that we are being asked to offer a prayer for a particular meeting or whatever it might be, and we say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. Let's just pray the Lord's Prayer together. Now, it's a good prayer. It's a fine prayer. But we can't use it as empty words, empty phrases. This prayer must be prayed humbly and simply. We pray acknowledging who we are. We pray acknowledging who God is. Coming to Him from our heart, sincerely. Humbling ourselves before Him simply. But still praying surely. We pray surely. Verse 8, do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. We can be sure our God will hear our prayers, because He knows our needs and He knows how to answer our needs. I love the language of the Catechism in question 117. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. We pray and rest on this unshakable foundation. God has promised He will hear the prayers of His people. He has promised He will hear us when we call out to Him. We pray surely. We pray confidently, knowing that our God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, will hear us and will answer us. Now, we know He will hear us, but that doesn't mean He will necessarily answer us in the way that we expected. God knows better than we know. God knows more than we know, and He will answer, but it will be in the best way possible. How do we pray? We pray sincerely. We pray simply. We pray surely. Now, in light of verse 8, the Catechism, and we as well, ask a really reasonable question. Verse 8 says this, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Well, if that is true, why should we pray? If God already knows our needs, why should we pray to Him? That's a very reasonable question. And the answer is so simple. I've been asked this question a number of times. Look, if God knows what I need, if God knows what I'm going to pray before I pray it, why bother? The answer is so simple. Because God has told us to. We pray as a matter of our obedience to Him. We pray because He said so. Now, I know when we're raising our children, We're supposed to give our children reasons for the things that we tell them to do. We give them reason why explanations. Do this because this is the case. But you know that sometimes you say, do it just because I said so. In a certain sense, that's why we pray. Because God has said so. Because the Father desires it. God wants us to come to Him in prayer. We think of how much we love it when our children come and want to spend time with us and talk with us. God desires that we as His children spend time with Him in prayer. But that's a blessing for the child to spend time with their parent, a blessing for them to be encouraged and instructed by their parents. It's a blessing for us, His children, to come to Him in prayer. We pray because God has said we may. God has said we must. We have access to Him. I'm always amazed by that. We have access to the God who is the creator and the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. He is never too busy to hear us when we call. We get so busy in our lives. Sometimes with our kids, we say, okay, I want to talk to you about this, but it's going to have to be later because I'm just too busy right now. God never says that. God never says, I'm too busy for you. But He is always ready and willing to hear the prayers of His children. That's why we pray. And it reminds us, we pray to God, it reminds us that He is the God who does provide for all of our needs. We pray to God as a reminder that we are not the ones who are in control, but He is the one who provides for us. Again, the Catechism picks up on that in question 116. When asking the question, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. We pray to God because it acknowledges He is the giver of all good gifts. And we thank Him for that. We thank Him for being the one who provides for all of our needs. It's good for us to pray to God as a reminder that He is in control and we are not in control. He is the one to whom we pray because He says you may, because He says you must, and because it's good for us to remember who that great God is. The last question in this introductory section of prayer in the Catechism, what should we pray for? And the answer begins with this word, children, everything. What should we pray for? Everything. Everything that we need. All things physical, all things spiritual, all things we can bring to God in prayer. We can pray for our physical needs. We can pray for God to provide for us. We can pray for God to care for the things that we have. We can think about the relationships in which God puts us. We can pray for our families. We can pray for our friends. Children, you can pray for your pets. We can pray for everything. Everything we can bring to God in prayer. All things physical, all things spiritual. We pray for our walk with God, that we would have a stronger walk with Him. We can bring that request to Him, knowing that He desires to hear our prayer, to have us call out to Him as our Father. Jesus says, then pray like this. And He gives us the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, which we will look at in the next weeks and months together, the Lord's Prayer, which is a beautiful model for our prayers. A beautiful model because it reminds us of the priorities in prayer. The Lord's Prayer begins not, first of all, with my needs and my requests. It begins with prayers on God's behalf. It prays for His name. It prays for His kingdom. It prays for His will. We are halfway through the prayer before Jesus says, and now bring your needs as well. Oh, we may bring our needs, but We begin by praying for God's glory and for God's honor. And then we pray for those daily needs that we have, the ongoing physical provisions that we need, that God give us this day our daily bread, and the spiritual provisions, that he would forgive us our debts. A prayer that is often the first prayer in our walk with God, when we recognize the seriousness of our sin and we say, God, forgive me a sinner. And Jesus Christ, his blood washes us from all our iniquities. If you are here this morning and have never prayed that prayer, God, forgive me a sinner, God calls to you today. You can call out to him. He's not too busy. You can pray, God, forgive me a sinner, and know that fellowship, and know that assurance, that surety, that for the sake of Jesus Christ, he will wash and cleanse you from all of your sins, from all of your iniquities. We have this beautiful blessing of praying to God. When we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, when we pray sincerely and simply and surely, when we pray because God himself welcomes us to, when we pray for all these things, Jesus will not say you're doing it wrong. No, the art of prayer is to recognize the gift that prayer is to us. God welcomes us to enter his very presence through our prayers, to pour out our hearts to him. Whether those are hearts of joy or hearts of hurt and anxiety, we pour out our requests to him. And he is the God who, for the sake of Jesus Christ, is faithful to hear the prayers of all of his people. May God bless us in the next weeks and months together as we look at this glorious prayer that Christ himself has taught us. Let us join together now in a time of prayer. Lord our God, great Father in heaven, oh, we thank you, Lord God, for this privilege of talking to you. You are not too busy on this Lord's Day. You hear the prayers of all of your people as they call out to you in Jesus' name, and you hear our prayers this morning. Thank you, O God, for the avenue of prayer, this means by which we may and must pour out our hearts to you, for you are our Father in heaven, ready to hear the calls of your children. We know, O God, that you will hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ, and you will answer, perhaps not in ways that we have expected, but in the best way possible. Help us to receive all that you provide with thanksgiving. Lord God, bless us in this study of prayer. And if our prayer lives are hurting, help us to pray about prayer, that we might be more diligent, we might be more faithful in our prayer life with you. For this will be for your honor and glory, but will also be for our blessing. So we pray, Lord God, you will hear us this morning for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.